Boy, we have to be forever grateful. Amen. He's done so much for us. Boy, I had such a great time today on the street, and it was just a wonderful day. And Harrison Judd, I was wondering if you wouldn't share about Tommy. You'd be all right with that? Tell about what happened with Tommy. I worked with Harry today, had that pleasure, and we met a really cool guy.
We had started in Harrisburg, and we were doing a classic drive-bys. But so it was winding down. It was about 12:30, and so we decided we were going to go over to Olmsted, where we spent a lot of time. And we had been walking through, and really not much reception over at Olmsted, you know, just if, you know, people were either, you know, didn't want to talk to us or they had talked to us before type deal. And so Brother Jeremy was walking, past the porch, and I was like coming, I had been talking to somebody and I was coming to find him, and we kind of met, and right there is this guy who was peeking out his window, and, you know, he just jumped right in there, and he was like, you know, hey, it's Jeremy Gall from Good News Church, as he does. And, so we met this guy, this older gentleman, his name was Tommy, and, he, right off the bat, he told us, that he's been struggling with cancer. Doctors can't, you know, can't find a cure. Well, no one can, but, you know, the doctors can't do anything for him, and, you know, we've heard this before. And so we began to talk to him, began to minister to him. And, you know, he began, he was crying as he was talking to us, and, definitely ministered to. And then, right then and there, we prayed for him, commanded it to go. And I believe, you know, right as we're talking right now, you know, things are happening in his body that it's, whenever we see him again, which we will, that he'll be fully recovered. And so, you know, we had this great moment with him. And then, we also had Cohen, Brother Jeremy's son, with us, young little guy, and throughout the day we would be talking to people, and Cohen would always be like, you know, handing out cards, or he'd be like, you forgot to ask him about this or do this, and so we had forgotten to ask Tommy the question, you know, and so Cohen brought it up. Thank God he did. And Tommy, he told us he had been in church, he told us he had been in Bible studies, but he did not know. And for him, more than anybody, it's extremely important that he knew. And thank God Cohen brought that up, and right then and there, you know, we presented the gospel to him, and he got saved, and he was saying this, you know, this was a great day. He said, something just drew me outside, something just drew me outside. And so, it was really, that was the last guy we talked to, really great way to end our day, wasn't it? And, you know, we're gonna go see Tommy again, and he's gonna be all good, so, amen. Excited about that.
Thanks, Harry. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, and tears in his eyes, man. He was just so thankful. And right, standing on the, you know, he was on hospice, standing at the door of eternity as far as, you know, natural things are concerned, and was really uncertain. I mean, when Cohen asked him, and like Harry said, both of us were thinking, he's talking about Bible studies, he's talking about church, you know, and oh yeah, he's probably, you know, almost could have skipped over that. And Cohen steps in and he's like, let me ask you a question. You know, Cohen, 8 years old, 8 years old. He's like this, you know, laid it all on the line, man. So let's get down to brass tacks here, you know. So, he asked him, he said, you died tonight or 100 years from now. And he said, I don't know. I mean, he really didn't know. You could see, I mean, there was no hesitancy, and he didn't allude in any way that he did. And praise God, but he called on Jesus' name in tears. Yeah. He said, like Harry said, we're just walking past. He said, something drew me to the door. Amen. Amen. And Pastor Matt had been praying about today about fish being drawn to the nets, you know. He said, something drew me to the door. I mean, no reason. He just came to the door and he's looking out right as Harry and I are walking past. God did that. Amen. Amen. Now, I loved what Neil said earlier. He had said that, he believed that every believer should know how to lead somebody to the Lord and should be able to pray for the sick. I love that. Isn't that good? I believe that when Jesus said in John 14:12, whosoever believeth in me, the works that I do, would they do also. I believe that's exactly what he had in mind. I believe every believer should be the person in their family that when something goes south, you're the one, it's your phone that rings. Amen. And they call you, and then you say, it's all right, I could help. I could do something. Amen. You should be the one at work that when somebody really really is in a bad spot, man. When they've exhausted all their options and there's nowhere else that they can turn, that you're the cubicle that they come to, or you're the person on the line that they come and get your attention. You're the person that they talk to on the smoke break, whatever it is. I believe every believer should be the go-to person when all the chips are down. Amen. And there's no answers that the world has to offer. That you're the person in the neighborhood that the neighbor comes to and knocks on your door and they say, I've got nowhere else to turn. But you could say, that's all right. I know somebody who could help. I could help you. I've got answers for you. Amen. I believe that's God's intention for every believer. Bible says we are the light of the world. Isn't that right? We are the salt of the earth. That's amen. Amen. I do believe that we are the answer that people have been looking for. Not because we're special in ourselves, but we are the answer because Jesus made us the answer. He filled us with the Holy Spirit so we could be the answer. He came to live inside of us so we could be the answer. He made us the answer to the needs of man. That was part of the plan of salvation. Not just that we'd escape this place and make heaven, but that He would deposit life inside of us and out of our bellies would flow rivers of living water. That means when we're surrounded by people that are dying of thirst, we are a source of what they are looking for. Man, I'm excited. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's good preaching. Amen. Good. We started off last night, had a good time, talked about draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. For those of you who are here, read from the book of James, where the book of James tells us that by the Spirit of God, draw near to me, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. And we talked about that. And then, that was on my heart, kind of stirring in my heart to preach. And then, last night on the way over to church, Jocelyn shared a word that the Lord had given her during the prayer meeting yesterday afternoon. And it was very much in line with that. And then at the end of service, Pastor Matt stood up and read out of his journal and had read some things that God had given him in prayer. And it was right along those same lines. So God's speaking to us. I believe He set the tone for these meetings. Amen. And so we're going to go continue along those lines. And what we're really talking about is we all know that thank God, if you're a believer, you're born again and God lives inside of you. And greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. But I think all of us could realize that God could do more in us and through us. How many of you would agree? And what we're talking about is, how do you get from here to there, Is there a way to get from here to there? Is there a way to do something about where you're at and where you want to be? Whether that be in your relationship with God, hearing His voice, your effectiveness in advancing the kingdom, giving life to those around you. Thank God for every victory we've seen, but all of us could look and we could say, but surely there's more God can do through me. Surely there's more that God can do. Surely He can, we can see greater things than we've yet seen. We thank God for every victory we've seen. But is there more that He can do? I believe there is. The Bible tells us there is. It says He is able to do more than we could ask or think according to the power that works in us. So in other words, what that scripture was saying, and you realize that that scripture will be there for eternity. That scripture for eternity will be telling believers, or as long as this grace age lasts, as long as this age lasts before Jesus comes back, that scripture is always making a statement. You know what it's saying? You have not seen yet the fullness of what God can do through you. Isn't that right? Isn't it saying that? That God is able to do more than you could ask or imagine according to the power that works in you. I could imagine things that I've already seen. Are you with me tonight? I could imagine every miracle that I've seen God work through our life or ministry or that I've witnessed through somebody else's life. I could imagine it. I could recall it to my memory. I could remember the things God did last night. What is that scripture saying? I could do more than that. He's able to do more than we could ask or think, what, according to the power that works in us. Well, how do we get from here to there? How do we get to that more that God is able to do? Because we need more, don't we? There's still more lost that need to be saved. Is a chopper coming in? What's it going? We got, you calling a medevac, James? What's it? We got, yeah, right. We got, amen. Amen. How do you get from here to there? Maybe it's by helicopter. That's how we, that's the answer. So, but But are you hearing me tonight? Back to the message. Praise God. So how do you get from here to there? How do you get? Now, if there's more, you know, it's easy. We can just sit back and say, well, there's more. I know God can do more. But can we take action? Can we take steps and advance and see more than we've seen? Is there something that we can do to secure this more that God is able and wants to do in our life? That's what we're talking about. I believe there is. I believe we started to make the case last night where it says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Because do you realize that God is the source of all these things that we're talking about? Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Thank God he can do it. Amen? He does it through us. Everything that we saw happen on the streets, Jesus did it. Everything that we see happen in these meetings, Jesus did it. One way of getting closer to him is when you think like him, when you talk like him, and when you act like him, you'll have results like he had. Isn't that right? And then there's a couple other scriptures I want to talk about. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13 and 40. I'll know it when I see it. Praise God. No, I do not have the Bible memorized cover to cover. So Matthew 13. There it is. Matthew 13 and verses, let's start with 44. Amen. Matthew 13 and verse 44. And it says this, Jesus speaking, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, everybody say great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Amen. Now I want to read one more scripture. Then we'll continue on to in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Everybody say rewarder. I want to read that again. And he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that seek him. God's a rewarder, isn't he? And we see, you know, these things, they talk about, these scriptures talk about the value of the kingdom of God and that it, what it's worth. Talked about this man who finds a pearl of great value or a pearl of great price. And he esteemed that to this man, this pearl was worth his entire life. Everything that he had, he sold and he considered it a good deal. That everything, selling everything in his life was a good trade for this pearl. And the Bible tells us that the kingdom of God is like that, doesn't it? And what do you esteem the kingdom of God like tonight? You see, it talks about, the Bible says, he who desires to save his life will lose it, but he who desires to lose his life for Christ's sake, for the gospel's sake, will gain it, will gain life. Isn't that right? And here we see that it talks about he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder. He who diligently seeks God, he who seeks God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. In other words, he that comes to God and invests in seeking God and pursuing God must believe that it's worth it. I want to ask you tonight, do you believe that it's worth it? See, so many of our actions that we have and what we do, it just is based on the fact of, do we believe it's worth it or not? God says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. But you're not going to draw near to God if you don't think it's worth it, if you don't think it God merits drawing near to. Or at least the actions it takes to draw near to God. Because when that scripture says, draw near to me, drawing near, it's implying that there's actions that must be taken. Draw near to me. In other words, that there's something that we must do to get closer to God than we are now. You got to do something. Everybody say, I got to do something. Remember I said we're talking about, we know God can do more, but can we do something about that? I believe there is. I believe we can do something. I don't believe it's just a matter of us sitting back and saying, well, you see, this is the main thought in the church, is if God wanted to do something, he would. Someday it's just going to blow in on us. You know, there's going to be some wave that comes in, or he's going to pour something out and it's just going to happen and we're going to have nothing to do with it. I think, you know, Nazareth, Jesus' hometown, blows that theory right out of the water. Because Jesus walked in, man. Everything they needed to be poured out, everything they needed, you know, everything they needed from God walked into town when Jesus walked into town. So this idea that someday God's just going to do it and he's going to make us all be blessed in some way. No, there's something we must do. There was something that the people of Nazareth had to do. But that's a good, that's a good note tonight. That's good news. Because we can look at our lives, we can look at the situations around us, we can look at the condition of the world, and you see, God hasn't left us helpless, but we can look and say, I can do something. I can do something to see God's power move more in my life and in my generation. There's actions I can take and they will produce results. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can do something. It says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And the Bible is filled with stories of people who diligently sought God because they thought it was worth it in some way. For example, one of my favorites, I know you've probably never heard me preach on this, but the woman with the issue of blood, you know, almost a nightly occurrence that I preach on the woman with the issue of blood. But I'm going to talk about another aspect of her story tonight. Here, she was a diligent seeker of God. She went out and she sought Jesus. She heard the message of Jesus and she did something with it. She dragged herself out into the street. She acted like, you know, socially unacceptable. Literally, she broke Levitical law. She broke the rules. She went where she wasn't supposed to go, risked condemnation, stoning if they would have taken, you know, threw the book at her, as we say. She was, you know, she could have got everything. Risked her life just to be out in that crowd, but she thought it was worth it. Are you hearing me tonight? She risked her life, she risked everything, but she thought it was all worth it, that it was worth everything that she did. Praise God. She said, it's worth it. She thought of the risk. She weighed it all out. And she said, it's worth it. She thought of the fact that she could lose her life. And she said, it's still worth it. And she went out there. And God rewarded her. Because God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. She said, it's worth it. Certainly she weighed these things out in her mind, because after she was healed, Jesus said, who touched me? The Bible says she was trembling and she was in fear. And Jesus had to tell her not to be afraid. Why was she in fear? Because she broke the rules. Because she had a condition of blood. She was out there. She shouldn't have been out there. But then Jesus pardoned her and she went. And he took care of everything. But the thing is, she thought that those kind of actions, these extreme actions, were worth it. You know, sometimes the attitude is just, well, let's not get carried away, you know. Let's not, you know, is it really worth all that? Well, you know, is it really worth whatever, you know? I mean, one of the questions that I'll ask people will come to me and say, oh, come pray for this. Would you come and pray for this person? Would you come and pray for that person? And I'll always go if I can. And I just because Jesus went, and I'm not better than him, amen. Somebody would say, come to my house, and he'd go, you know. And so I tried to do, if I can, I'll try to go when somebody asks me. But, and I don't do this for my sake, but for the person's sake, they'll say, well, you know, would you come and pray for this person? I'll say, are they mobile? Well, no, they can't leave the house. Well, my next question is, do they go to their doctor's appointments? Because if they do, they're mobile. And I'm not asking that just to be difficult. But you see, they think it's worth going to the doctor. They say, that's worth it. But driving to see the preacher, that's not worth it. Does this make sense to you? Because the doctor could help me. He could do something about my situation. See, we got to change our perspective a little bit. We got to start to see that Jesus is worth it. It's worth it, amen. And I ask that question for that. I'm not trying to be difficult, but I want to adjust some things. But sometimes I ask it just because across the board, I want people to get the right perspective again. It's worth it. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's worth it, neighbor. See, the woman with the issue of blood, she weighed it all out. It was much more than an inconvenience for her. Her life was on the line. It wasn't just the inconvenience of getting to where Jesus was. She was breaking the law. But bless God, she thought that it was worth it. She thought that Jesus was able to help her, could do something about her situation more than anybody else could. She took the risk. She took the step. She went out to where Jesus was, and she was not disappointed. She got what she came for because she saw that it was worth it. You know, back, I listened to a lot of old Kenneth Hagin messages, you know, a lot of them I got from Pastor Matt and Pastor Susie on a hard drive, and I was listening to some. He said that back in the, I believe it was when he first started on the road, which would have been the late 30s, early 40s, when he first started traveling, that he said it was common practice in Pentecostal churches to have 4 2-week meetings a year. Like every quarter, they would have a 2-week meeting. You know, I mean, my Lord. So you're talking 8 weeks out of the year, you know, every night that church was in meeting. So listen, Good News Church, man, you guys are radical. It's awesome. We do that kind of stuff here, you know. But not every, let me tell you what, being a person on the road, that is a rarity. But Brother Hagin said it was common. That's what it was across the board. You know, 2 weeks, 2-week meetings, 4 times a year. Standard procedure. He was part of the Assembly of God. Standard procedure in the Assembly of God. 2 weeks, 4 times a year. And then, you know, if things were good, you're talking it'd go a month, 2 months, and extend, and you're, you know, every night. This is every night of the week you're there. Why would that happen? They must have thought that it was worth it. Well, you know, they must have thought that it's not a bad thing to be in church every night. You know, some people right now, your flesh might be crawling, but these people thought that it was worth it. It was worth it to put their life on the line. There was something that God could do for them more than they could do for themselves. They could get something more out of being in a meeting where God was moving than they can get out of sitting in front of the TV or, you know, being on Netflix or whatever. They thought that it was worth it and it could make a difference in their life. You know, in the book of Acts, there was a story about 120 people. They went up into an upstairs room in some building, you know, and they went up there on a promise of God. And they spent, estimated, about 7 to 10 days in this upper room, you know. And God rewarded them. But you gotta stop and think about this. You know, we glaze over these stories so quick, we just zip past them. This is a group of 120 people. These people had jobs. Had to, you know, out of the 120, some of them did anyways. You know, there was the 12 who were, or the 11 at that time who were with Jesus. And you know, but some of these people had things, but they put their lives on hold. They went up into some room to seek God. I mean, think about it. Because they thought, why? Because they thought it was worth it. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's worth it. You see, they took these radical steps kind of out of the ordinary. But you see this connection in the Word that these out of the ordinary steps seem to always produce out of the ordinary results. Boy, it's quiet in here. Somebody say amen. Amen. Okay. There's a story of a man. He was a paralyzed man. He had 4 friends. And he does some radical, out of the ordinary things. He gets 4 of his friends to carry him to this meeting where this guy's preaching who's a radical guy. I mean, he's just a carpenter who's kind of launched out into ministry, and he's out there and he's recruited these 12 guys to work with him. And this paralyzed guy hears that some good things are happening in his meeting, so he gets 4 of his friends to carry him. This is before ambulances. This is before wheelchairs. They don't even have a stretcher. They carry the guy. I mean, that in itself is like, you know, there's got to be some kind of merit in that. They carry the guy. Then they get to where the guy's meeting is. And it's already packed. You know, apparently overflow is already packed too, you know. Even the rooms with the screens, I think, were already taken from what we, you know. It's totally packed. Overflow's packed. You know, satellite locations are packed. These guys said, that's all right. We're not going to stop there. We're going to be radical. We're going to do something that we've never done before. We're going to step out of the ordinary here. We're going to do what's maybe socially unacceptable. Why would they have taken those actions? Because they thought that it would be worth it for them to take those actions. They thought that it would make a difference. They thought that Jesus was able to help, and it was worth getting radical to get to where Jesus was because he had something to offer. Do you believe God has something to offer you tonight? Everybody say it's worth it. And so many of our actions we just don't do anymore, we just don't take, or we just don't step out of the normal, whatever it is. And listen, this is not, we're not talking about condemnation. These kind of messages like we're preaching in these meetings could, you know, could come across that way. You ought to be doing this, you ought to be doing that. I'm not talking about what you should be doing. You do whatever's on your heart to do. What I want to talk about is what the reward. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And you draw the conclusion whether it's worth it or not, and whether it's something you think you should be doing. Does that sound good? The reward, amen. Is he a rewarder? Is it worth it? And I'm preaching to myself here tonight. Because that scripture, you see, it's talking to me just like it's talking to you. I'm able to do more than you could ask or imagine according to the power that works in you. And so then the question to myself is, what am I going to do about that? What am I going to do about that more that he's able to do? Because it's standing there as a witness. It's asking me that question. What are you going to do? I'm able to do more. Are you going to do something about it? And sometimes it seems, you know, there's an old saying, it's pretty popular, that if you want to see something different, see something you've never seen, you've got to do something you've never done. Different ways you say it. David Horton used to say, if you keep doing the same, you know, the definition of insanity, you keep doing the same actions and expecting different results, that's the definition of insanity, you know. But we could do something different, amen. We could step out, and it's worth it. You know, I think about so many things. And I'm not giving any prescription tonight. Like, you know, do this, do that, and do this, you know. Do this or that. But I'm saying all of us could do something. And the ball is in our court, isn't it? And let's just trust God to speak to our hearts about what we need to do. And it may be different from person to person. But the idea is that scripture's there. He's able to do more than we could ask or imagine. So if he's able to do it and it's not happening, it's not on his end, but it's on our end. We need to do something different. Nazareth, it wasn't Jesus' fault that they didn't have good results there. They needed to do something different. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Kristen, good to have you with us tonight. You're usually back slinging soda or something like that. So good, amen. Good to have you sing and be here with us, making, you know, obnoxious banana splits or something. It's good. Good to have you with us. Amen. But my kids always tell me they always have a good time. So, amen. There's something that we can do to make our tomorrow different than it is today. Say it again. Say, I can do something. Let's say this scripture together. He's able to do more through me than I could ask or imagine. Oh, thank God. Amen. It's possible, man. It's possible. All the works of Jesus. There's more to be done. It's possible. We can do something about it. We don't need to just sit back and you know, Lord, if you want to do it, do it. It may require some radical actions. It did for the woman with the issue of blood. Her life, that as it was going, wouldn't have produced the results that she needed. The man who was paralyzed at home, his life, just the normal, wouldn't have produced the kind of results that he needed. Do you think that these stories are there for a reason? I mean, was there a reason? Why didn't they happen another way? Why wasn't it always easier than that? Why wasn't it, you know, why didn't it happen that Jesus was there and one of the woman with the issue of blood's friends came up and said, I want to stand in proxy for my friends at home. She's been sick 12 years. And would you pray for her? Yes, let's pray for her. Wouldn't it have been nice if it happened like that? Certainly would have been easier for her. She wouldn't have risked her life. That scripture's there, though. There it is. She needed to do something out of the ordinary to get the breakthrough that she needed in her life. Amen. The man who was paralyzed and his four friends carried him to where Jesus was. Apparently, just the status quo wouldn't have been enough for him. What if he would have stopped before he tore the roof off? I'm sure there's people who did. There's probably people who went home. I would assume that there had to be people. People have always been people, just like, you know, people are people today, just like they were then. Certainly, there had to be people who said, "This is too much. I'm not going to go beyond this. I've tried. We showed up. It's full. I'm going home. We'll try again next time." Right? People are people. But here this man, it must have took some more action. Amen. It must have took something out of the ordinary to get him from where he was to where he needed to be. Boy, God, shake us all up. Help us all, Lord. Bible says he'll work in us and cause us to will and do according to his will. What is it? I mean, Jesus, he was the Son of God, and the Bible tells us he got up a long time before dawn. It was his practice to get up a long time before dawn and pray and fellowship with the Lord. Sometimes he stayed up all night. Listen, I'll be honest. I'm talking to myself. It's been years since I've stayed up all night praying. This is something that Jesus did a few times just in his 3 years. If Jesus needed to do that, are you hearing me tonight? Hallelujah. Is it worth it, though? I think most of the time we just say, well, you know, I think it's just more valuable to get some rest. Jesus thought it was worth it. Amen. And like I said, this isn't telling anybody you're not doing enough, beating anybody over the head, because I'm talking to myself just as much as I'm talking to you guys. But I believe this is a Bible principle. It is the Word. It says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And it's not a formula. It's not stay up all night and that's it, or get up before sunrise and that's it. It's not, but sometimes it's just doing something. And maybe it's going to be something that's out of the ordinary and something you never did before, but it's something that's going to help you break through to that more that he's able to do in your life. This helping you tonight? Draw near to me, he said, and I'll draw near to you. Sometimes we just bump along, you know. I'm telling you, man. Hallelujah. Boy, God's speaking to us this tonight. Amen. He's got more for every one of us. The beautiful thing about this message is this is wherever you are in your spiritual walk, from lost to walking with the Lord for 95 years, this message applies to everybody. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Do something. It's worth it. Take a step. If there was a lost person in here tonight, I would tell that lost person this. It's worth it. Call on the name of Jesus. Become a Christian. Become a follower of Christ. You'll never regret it. It's worth it. There's nothing that you have now that is worth holding on to miss out on what Jesus has for you to have. It's worth it. To the person who's walked their whole life with the Lord, if there's anything that's holding you back, if there's anything that you're holding on to, if there's anything that I don't want to let go of this, let it go, man. God's got something better for you, and you'll be happier, and you won't regret it. Amen. It's a message for every human being that's ever lived. Jesus is for everybody. He's got more for everybody. See that scripture? There it is. I mean, you think about the most spiritual person that you could think of, whether it be whatever, Kenneth Hagin, Smith Wigglesworth, you know, these people, Mother Teresa, your grandma, whoever it is, the most spiritual person you could think of. And there was that scripture speaking to them, just like it's speaking to you and I tonight. I'm able to do more than you could ask or imagine, according to the power that works in you. That scripture spoke to Wigglesworth. It spoke to the apostle Peter. It spoke to the apostle Paul. He was saying the same thing to him. There it was, saying there's more I can do than you've yet seen. And God is and the thing is, but then here it is, this ball in our court thing. If you'll go after it, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Will you go after it? Will you seek it? Will you step out and say, just not be satisfied with how it's been, but say, Lord, I know that you said there's more, and I'm going to go after it, and I'm going to put a demand on it, and I'm going to press in for it. It's kind of a, amen. It's a truth, isn't it? And we see it in people's lives. We see it in the Bible. We see it in times gone by, even in years gone by. You know, I've shared the story here before, and I'll back up just in context of what we're talking about tonight. R.W. Schombach, how many ever heard of R.W. Schombach? He was an evangelist, for those of you who haven't. He used to work with a guy by the name of A.A. Allen, if you maybe heard of him, and they've both gone on to be with the Lord. But R.W. Schombach used to do his business with a company called BMC Advertising in Tulsa. And Oral was with them too. And, you know, we would call it like a marketing group today, you know. And they handled all their advertising and their mailing and things like that. Now, David Horton, the evangelist that I worked with and my mentor, he lived in Tulsa. And they were having a special meeting with R.W. Schombach at BMC Advertising. They invited a few preachers to come there. One of them was David. And it's like this private small group gathering, you know, and they're all sitting around talking. And somebody asked R.W. Schombach the question, what was the most notable miracle that you've ever seen? They asked him that. Good question, you know, because this guy had seen a lot. He'd seen God do some amazing things. They said, what was the most notable miracle that you've ever seen? And he answered, and he told a story that some of you may have heard before, and it was the story of a baby that had 24 different conditions, 24 different things wrong with it. Child, I believe the child was about 4 years old. And horribly deformed this child was missing some of its fingers and was blind, couldn't walk. You know, the legs were just like cartilage and the child couldn't walk. And if you put, you couldn't support its own weight, a lot of conditions going on in this child. And, the woman that the mother of the child had brought the baby there. The meeting was in, I think, Tennessee. I want to say like Knoxville. I'm almost positive it was Knoxville. So anyhow, they brought the baby, not that that's that important, but it was in the United States in the, you know, mid-south. So they, in Tennessee. So they're in Knoxville. She's there, but she's been there for a while and she's run out of money and she's about to go home. So, you know, R.W. Schombach was like an associate evangelist. She comes to him. She says, listen, I've got to leave and I haven't been prayed for yet. And they used used to kind of work things different in those days. The crowds were so big, they had to kind of, you know, take different people different nights. They'd have to be led by the Lord and lay hands on people, things like that. They'd have card systems. The crowds were so big that they often had trouble managing, you know, how to deal with these kinds of people. So things are different now. Like, my thinking is always, there's so many qualified people, you just have a team of 100 people that could go through the crowd and get it done in no time at all. Amen. And so there's other ways to do it. But so they had difficulty. So, cause you know, praise God, believers lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Amen. So, they had, you know, but they had difficulty getting this baby to Brother Allen. So anyways, the one mother came to R.W. Schombach, said, please, could you promise me that the evangelist will pray for my baby tonight? And he said, okay, I'll make sure that he prays for your baby. And then he forgets about it. And, but you know, God took care of it. A.A. Allen, in the midst of the meeting, he gets a word of knowledge and he starts describing this baby's condition, the mother in detail, and says, okay, you know, there's somebody here. And he tells the story. They bring the baby up and he begins to pray for this child over an extended amount of time. And I love this too. It was like over 20 minutes. It was something, you know, I mean, long time to work with somebody. I love this because even that shows that he thought it was worth it. You know, I mean, like I'm saying, so much of what we do is because we think it's worth doing. Or so much of what we don't do is because we don't think it's worth doing. Well, it's not worth going longer than this, you know. I mean, we've done our best, right? You know. So he thought it was worth taking the time. He thought it was worth. He believed that there was a reward at the end of that pursuit. Are you hearing me tonight? And he pressed on. So he prayed with the child. And after a certain amount of time, I'll tell you what, I'll have the details tomorrow because I have the story with me. I'll tell you what the exact amount of time was tomorrow. Tune in. This same bat time, same bat channel. We'll be back here. So, but after an amount of time, and I know it was over 20 minutes, it wasn't like bam, you know. After this extended amount of time, Schombach said he learned to watch and pray. That, you know, he didn't have his eyes closed, but he wanted to see what God did. So he was watching and praying. And he's watching, he said, all of a sudden, those fingers started to form, and it was like silly putty. And all of a sudden, those eyes started to form, and the baby could see. Then A.A. Allen took that child and set it down, and it walked for the first time across the platform. And it walked over to its mother, and all the deformities were gone. Thank God our God does those kind of things. He's still the same. There's nothing that the curse can do to destroy or maim or hinder that God doesn't have the power to undo in an instant of time. He is the creator. He created everything we see. He created everything that is. He created the heavens and the earth. It's nothing for him to restore the human body, praise God. And that's what he did. He made this child whole in an instant. Of course he did. He's God. That's what he does. He designed it in the beginning and he still does it today. But this, I, you know, I've never seen anything like that with my eyes, but I believe it happened and I want to see it. Amen. But here's the part I wanted to get to. So David Horton goes back to Kenneth Hagin's house after this meeting. He was good friends with Kenneth Hagin, you know. Goes back to his house and he tells the story I just told you. And he's like, Dad, can you believe this, you know? Can you believe this story? Tells the story about this child that was made whole and healed and, you know, and all these miracles that took place. And Dad says this statement blew my mind when David told me the story and related to me. Dad Hagin, Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin says, oh yeah, we used to see that all the time in the 50s. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, all the time. All the time. Let's just stop and think about that for a minute. All the time. You know, praise God, we need to see that all the time, don't we? There's a lot of reasons we need to see things like that all the time. One reason is all the time there's people that need those kind of miracles. All the time, because the curse is here all the time. The devil is stealing, killing, and destroying all the time. He's maiming, breaking, and hurting all the time. All the time we need to see miracles on that level. Amen. There's another reason why we need to see those things all the time. Because this world is hard and calloused and blinded. And sometimes it takes things to that degree to shake them out of their stupor and show them the truth of the gospel and who God really is. Now you think about that miracle that happened with Vinny here and the story. You know, I'm not going to tell the whole thing again tonight, but here was this guy who was a pretty hardcore skeptic, came into the service right here at Good News Church. Kind of, you know, with kind of his stance was like, prove to me that it's true because I don't believe it. He wasn't, you know, he didn't have index cards, and he's not confessing every day, my hearing's coming in Jesus' name, you know. He comes in and he's like, you guys are nuts. Show me that you're not, kind of thing. Yeah. Are you hearing me? God opened his ear and it just blew his, you know, bam, opens his deaf ear as he sits in the seat. He's trembling. Now just to, you know, swallows his gum and he's shaking because God shocked him so much. But you, let's analyze this for a minute. What else could have gotten his attention like that? You know, some of the programs and plans we have to reach people. How many times would you have had to cut Vinny's grass to make him believe that Jesus was alive? Right? How many cappuccinos would you have had to hand to him, you know? Right? Amen. You know, I mean, you know, Nate Barber is like one of my favorite musicians in the world, literally. And I'm not just trying to be flattering here. But how many times would he have had to hear Nate play to say, my God, that guy's so good. God does exist. Jesus did die and raise again from the dead. I mean, but it's true. How many people, they're dependent on their music, man. What else could have, so I'm saying, why do we need it to happen all the time? Because some people, it takes that. Jesus said to a certain man, he said, you people will not believe unless you see signs and wonders. There was one thing that stood between those people and the kingdom, and it was a demonstration of God's power. We need to see those things all the time. All the time. Brother Hagin said, in the 50s, that happened all the time. He said, I don't know why it doesn't happen like that anymore. Then David said he kind of looked up for a second, and this story impacted me, man. I was like, whoa, you know, I'm hanging, as sometimes David's stories over the phone would. You know, I'm on the phone, and he's telling his stories, and I'm like, you know, what happens next? So he says, Kenneth Hagin looks up, and he says, I don't know why those things don't happen anymore. Then he says, yes, I do. And he gave two reasons. He said, one, because the meetings aren't long enough. That's interesting. Well, I don't think that it's necessarily in, like, again, it can't be a methodical thing, like after 2 weeks, you know, and then like this many hours, and then, you know, it can't be that. But the principle of it, the reason is because he said after 2 weeks, you think you would really see things start popping, because sometimes it just took that long to get the doubt and unbelief out of people. Well, we've seen some of that here, haven't we? That it was after, I mean, we saw a lot of things after a month of meetings that we wouldn't have seen. It had just been 3 days, you know. Thank God we're seeing things now that we needed to do some of those radical things so we could see things like we're seeing now. Amen. It was worth it. How many believe it was worth it? So then, he gave, that was one reason. The meetings aren't long enough. He said the other reason, he said, is consecration. People just aren't consecrated enough. Well, you know, now this, let me talk about that for just a minute. Miracles aren't, it's not about like we've got to be holy, and then if we're holy enough and we please God enough, because he's stingy, and if we do everything right, then he'll say, okay, now I'm going to grant you miracles. That's not what it's about. It's more about mind renewal. Yeah. Amen. See, it's not the idea of like earning miracles from God. And if we're good enough, God wants it more than we want it. It's not about convincing God to give it to us. That's all backwards. Are you following me tonight? It's all backwards. It's God trying to get us to do it and looking for any opportunity he could find to do what he so desperately wants to do. Amen. So when you talk about consecration, you need to be consecrated in your mind so your thinking's in the place that you believe that God can do something like that. That you believe that if you prayed for somebody for 45 minutes that it would matter and it would make a difference. Amen. You've got to renew your mind to the fact that it matters. It's worth it. Everybody say it's worth it. You know, this isn't a methodology kind of message, like get rid of this, stop this, start doing this. But here's just an example, an idea. I remember I was, you know, Jocelyn and I have gone through periods where we just haven't had a TV and stuff like that. Not because, like I'm saying, not because we thought, oh, God didn't, you know, we're not pleasing God with this thing or anything like that. But it was just because of a desire and a hunger thing. Are you hearing me tonight? And I just thought, you know, I wanted to spend more time in the Word, or I wanted to spend more time seeking God. And I said, I just want to shut this thing off and just get it out because, you know, it just was a stumbling block or whatever. I didn't think, you know, God would have been pleased with me if I didn't, and you wouldn't have been, God wasn't mad at me because I had a TV. Just trying to clear some things up. You know, but some of these decisions I made was just because of what we're talking about tonight. But I wanted to see some different things. So I said, man, I got to do something different. Got to do something different because I want to see something different. And you know, so one of my friends, I was talking to him, and we were talking about somebody who didn't have a TV, and they said, oh, that's just flaky, that's just ridiculous, you know. And I'm like, well, really, let's just break it down and analyze it, you know. If this person just stopped watching TV and they spent that time in the Word, you know, let's say just reading the Bible, just like reading the book of John or the book of Acts, would it make a difference? Would it make a difference? Is it worth it? Now, either way, it's not about would God be, you know, because, you know, if I stop watching the TV, God's going to be pleased with me and he's going to grant miracles. But see, what happens is you're not programming yourself with the course of this world anymore. You watch, you know, something like that. If you take the time that you were meditating on curse and start meditating on life, it's going to change some things. And God's attitude towards you hasn't changed one way or the other. He loved you when you hated him. But because you've, like we talked about, drawn near to him, because you've thought something was worth it and you diligently sought him, there was a reward that came with that. God loved you the whole time, but yet all of a sudden some things change in your life. Amen? Is this helping anybody tonight? And again, I can't say this enough, because the last thing that I would want to do is make anybody feel bad about any mistakes they've made or anything that's going on, or just, you know, any trying to put condemnation and saying you should be this or you should do that. I'm trying to say that God has good things for all of us, and there is a way to get there, and sometimes it's going to seem radical to natural thinking to get there. Amen. Does that make sense? Shout amen if this makes sense to you tonight. Good, good. God is able to do more than we could ask or imagine. According to the power of God, according to his power that works in us, he's able to do more. And if we just kind of bump along and do the same things, chances are we're waiting for God to pour something out and just dump it on us. Chances are we're just going to keep seeing the same things. Isn't that right? But if we do something different, if you do something different, here's the blessing. There's some promises that you could steadfast stand on. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of those who seek him. There is always a reward for seeking God. Amen. It is always worth it. And whatever step you take, I don't care what it is. If you decide I'm going to take, you know, a 15 minutes when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to pray in tongues in the car on my way to work. I'm going to, you know, stop watching this or that show just to take that time and do something else. I'm going to fast one day a week. I don't care what it is. Whatever it is that maybe God puts on your heart, I'm telling you, whatever step you take to see God, it will be worth it because he will meet you in that step. It's a promise. You know, one of the things about working out, and I'm not like a trainer or anything, you know, I've done some. It's like my diet plan. I've had the same size jeans since when I was in college, when Jocelyn and I met when I got married. So my diet plan is simply, when they start getting tight, I gotta run more, you know? So that's it. But here's what I've learned. That's pretty much the system. When, you know, don't want to buy new clothes. Yeah, things are getting a little snug, you know? So, all right, 2 miles tomorrow. So, you know, I do more circuit training now, you know, instead of just mileage. But it's worked for me, and I'll tell you why it's worked for me. Because there's this law that comes into place that I've learned this, that if I will take some kind of physical action like running and lifting and circuit training, it is impossible for my body not to respond. Has anybody found that to be true? Now, the first day you do it, there's no evidence of that. You're pretty much the same. But see, I've developed so much faith in this system that I could get through the first day and have enough faith to know that maybe not day one, but sometime around 2 weeks, I'll start to see something. Amen. Even if it's slight, sometimes around there, I'll start to see something. And after a couple months, usually I could be back in college jeans. Amen. So, you can see that I've been through this cycle a couple of times. You've probably seen me at different places on this cycle as I've come down, you know, so, like, in comfortably in college jeans and almost out of them, you know. So, amen. But you see, there's a spiritual principle. Paul even compares natural exercise to spiritual exercise, doesn't he? He says, natural exercise is profitable for this life. Spiritual exercise, it's profitable for this life and the life to come. You see, the same principle is this. If you pray, if you meditate on God's word, if you take these spiritual disciplines, it's impossible for your spirit man and your mind not to respond to the things of God. It's impossible. It may not feel like it the first day. It may seem like not much has changed, but if you have faith in that process, it will produce results in your life. It's impossible for it not to. Amen? We can do something. We need God's help, though, don't we? Bible says that He works... Boy, folks, I'm telling you, I stand on this scripture. He works in us and causes us to will and do according to His will. Boy, I stand on that scripture. Because I battled with this just like everybody else, you know. I mean, your flesh wants to do other things. We all got appetites. We all live there, don't we? We all want these things. We need God's help. Thank God there's another one that I think everybody knows here. I could start it and you could finish it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What we're talking about, moving forward with God, this is something you can do through Christ who strengthens you. Boy, trust in his ability. Trust in his grace. Trust in his help. Boy, thank God, this is something that we can do. You know, this is the thing about the Christian life in general, all of it. The Christian life is not difficult to live. It's impossible. Isn't that right? It's true. It's impossible. Amen. If somebody came to me and said, well, I want to be a believer. If somebody came to me after this service and said, I want to be a Christian. I want to be born again. I said, well, brother, I'm going to keep trying. I'll be praying for you. Keep trying and do your best. It's impossible. Isn't that right? Well, you know, you can't get in without God's help. We can't run this race without God's power working with us any more than we can get in without God's help. Amen. But thank God we've got it. Amen. But we've got to put a demand on it by faith. You are working in me, causing me to will and do according to your will. Take our eyes off ourselves. Forget about what we're able to do in our past failures. Forget those things which are behind and press forward to that which lies ahead. Believe that, you know, forget about it. Press on and believe that God's able to work in us. There was one time, you know, I've always had, maybe somebody, listen, I'm about to just flat open up here with family here. Amen. I mean, how many times I've set goals? I'm going to get up all week and spend 3 hours studying the works of Jesus, you know, and then day one, and then that's it for the rest of the week, you know. I can't tell you how many times. You'd laugh if I gave you my journal and said, read this. You'd die laughing. It'd be better than Seinfeld or Hot Rod or anything else. You know? You'd be rolling, man. You'd be like, I can't believe how many times this guy set out to do this, you know. Have you ever been there? Am I alone? Am I the only one? But where was I even going with that? There's some more redeeming point than just that. I lost it at Hot Rod, Netzler's. I lost it. So it's a movie that we all both like. So anyhow, which I shouldn't watch because I should be studying the Word. Amen. No, it's not like that. But sometimes you got to do some radical things to get from where you are to where you want to be. Amen. You get the spirit of this tonight, don't you? I'm trusting the Lord to help me. I want to get this point across right, you know. So, anyhow, and I'll be closing with this sometime in the near future. I believe the Lord's speaking to us tonight. We can get to where we want to be, amen? It'll all come back to me here shortly. So, we can get to where we want to be, but we need God's help. We need His help. That's where I was. Thank you, Lord. So, here we are. I would always set these goals. You know, I'm going to get up early in the morning. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Falling short many times. I'm going through the season where I'm confessing this scripture, and this has really made a difference in my life. This is why I'm saying it's going to help you too. If you say, man, I want to do something different. I want to do, Lord, God work. So I've been confessing, Lord, you're working in me, causing me to will and do according to your will. That's a powerful scripture, isn't it? You're working in me, causing me to will and do according to your will. So I'm putting a demand on that. So it's one night I'm going to bed. I was busy, you know, cleaning and stuff like that, doing things around the house. It's 2:00 in the morning. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to get up at 4:00, which is 2 hours from when I'm going to bed. And I just laughed, literally. I mean, the Lord came, I just laughed. I'm like, that's impossible, you know? Seriously. And I told the Lord, I'm serious. You know, that's miracle faith right there, right? I told the Lord, I said, you are going to have to get me up and make me not tired, you know, like supernaturally, because that is so outside of what's going to be happening tomorrow morning in the natural course of things. And I'll tell you, man, 4 o'clock in the morning, I am awake as if I just slammed the Red Bull and my eyes are open and I looked at the clock. I got up and studied the word, you know, for a few hours. But he showed me something that he's able to help us. Amen. And he showed me so I could tell you about it. He's able to help you with this. I believe this has stirred people's hearts tonight. How many hearts have been stirred for more of God and you want to press in for more? Hold up your hands so I can see it. There's help for you. There's help for me because my hand's up. Amen. Because we need to see these things. We need to see it all the time like they did in the 50s. Amen. We need to see it all the time. But it doesn't line up for me scripturally or any other way to think that God's not doing it and he's reluctant in any way and he's going to pour it out on somebody. It has to be us, because God doesn't change. But bless God, we can change, and we can see it all the time. Let's just pray on that for a little while. Stand if you can. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we set our eyes on something tonight, and that's seeing people helped, even the worst conditions, even the most maimed, even the disfigured, even those people near death, even those people after death. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we're able to see you help those people all the time. We thank you, Father, that that can be everyday occurrence. Lord, I thank you for when Jerry Horton told the story about how she raised Doc from the dead. She said, we all knew somebody who was raised from the dead. Lord, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. We can see it all the time. And Father, we recognize that it hasn't been your fault. It's been us. But Lord, we thank you that you love us. And we thank you that you're on our side. In fact, Father, you're just dealing with us tonight because you've got better for us. You've got good things for us. You've got exciting things for us. Hallelujah. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. Brighter days are ahead. Brighter days are ahead. Brighter days are ahead. Days greater than you've yet seen. Greater things than you've yet walked in. Press on. Run with all your might. And lay hold of that for which I've laid hold of you. In Jesus' name. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord.